And here we are with our guest, Harvey Rosenberg of the New York Men's Council. Harvey? Mr. Rosenberg, where'd you go? He hung up. I could solve that. You know, I try to make it seem like I know what the hell I'm doing. And then I get short-circuited by the guests every time. You know what? You know what's coming up for this show? In the immediate future, a complete no-guest policy on Aerial View. So, God! Okay, let's try this again. You know, Mr. Rosenberg was confused. He may be involved with the New York Men's Council, but he's a confused New York man. I told him, just wait there. I said, just hold tight. He's an impatient person, obviously. Already I don't like this guy.
Hello?
Yes, Mr. Rosenberg.
Right.
You hung up on me.
No, we got disconnected.
What happened?
It's okay.
I didn't disconnect you.
It's all right.
You're a big liar, you know that?
Yep.
Already we're off on the wrong foot. Hey, we're on the air, by the way.
I apologize.
You apologize?
Yep.
How about I come over here and punch your nose in? No, I'm sorry. It's just testosterone.
It's kind of masculine kind of energy you're giving me. I appreciate
it.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, so you're heading the New York Men's Council?
That's right.
What's this all about, Alfie?
Well, you know, I think, you know, men have been hearing about what's going on all across America with the men's movement, which is basically...
The Iron John thing?
Iron John.
It's not a very durable port-a-san, right? An Iron John. What is it all about?
Well, what it's all about is, if you look...
I have your paper here, by the way, the New Scallywag Times, the premier edition, volume 1, number 1.
Right.
The Voice of Masculine, Family, and Community Renewal.
Right. Well, I think that's the key. What's going on in America is... And the reason that the men's movement started is that men are feeling like their lives are in very dismal condition. The culture has been giving men a bum rap.
Yeah.
Men are not feeling good about being real men. We've become soft. We've become feminine. We've become passive. We've become addictive. We have given up that pure, masculine, positive energy that makes being a man so great. And that's why the men's movement has started, to revive that energy.
Okay, and you are heading the New York Men's Council? What's your position exactly in the New York Men's Council?
I'm the director.
The director of the New York Men's Council. How did you get involved in this, or when did it dawn on you that you were becoming passive and feminine and losing your masculinity?
I was in the Soviet Union. 3 years ago, I started to work for the Soviet Union as a consultant to help them communicate better with the West. And one of Gorbachev's aides came to me and said, you know, Harvey, maybe you can help us. We've got 25% of the men in the Soviet Union are alcoholics.
Uh-huh.
And maybe you can help us with some stuff. And then he said to me, he says, you know, you also have in America 25% of the men in America are alcoholics. You have as much addiction with men in America we have in the Soviet Union, and we can't figure that out. I didn't believe him. I couldn't believe that he was telling me that men in America were that screwed up. Came back to America and I started to look at the condition of men in this country, and he was right. And then when you start looking at the divorce rate, the rate of family breakup, the rate of depression, the rate of heart attack, the rate of addiction, the rate of drug abuse, you have to reach the conclusion that a majority of men in America are suffering terribly in some kind of psychic pain. American men consume $600 billion a year illegal and illegal painkillers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why are we in such pain that we are consuming twice the defense budget in painkillers? That's when I started to get interested in the men's movement.
Okay. Where do we point the finger at? Do you point fingers?
I only do at my fat girlfriend.
Uh-huh.
Where do we point fingers at? Well, I think there's something...
Wait, what do you mean by that? What does that mean?
Well, sometimes she makes a mistake and I get angry and act like a real jerk. But I don't normally point fingers, and this is not an issue of blame.
Mm-hmm.
What's happened over the last three generations in America is we thought that we could go out as men and get the American dream. And
mm-hmm.
part of that dream was giving up the traditional family, where the father went out and disappeared from the family. In most American homes, the children never, ever know the father. Now, that is a very important issue for young boys, because a young boy that does not get raised and initiated by his father grows up confused with a terrible spiritual emptiness in him And he tries to fill that emptiness either with a great wall around him, an emotional barrier, or he gets into drugs or alcohol or something to numb his pain. So somehow this culture gave us all the message that if you want to be rich, famous, and successful, go after the American dream, we're going to have to pay a small price, which is we're going to destroy the American family and eliminate the father from family life. Now, we all bought that. It was all part of being an American. It was all part of getting two cars in the garage. But now we're beginning to pay the price.
Eliminating the male from family life, eliminating the father?
Mm-hmm. Now, the black people are feeling this. The black community is feeling this more acutely than all of us, because the central spiritual crisis in the black community is the loss of fathers. They are showing us what the future is for white people, which is when you remove the father from a family, something happens to a family where it loses its spiritual vitality and its energy, and it begins to fall apart. And how can you have a democracy, how can you have a culture that has no families? So the men's movement is saying we must revitalize man. We must heal that psychic pain.
How? What do we do?
Well, first of all, the hardest thing, of course, and I think it takes tremendous courage, and in a sense it's very inspirational, just to admit that you're in this kind of pain. You know, most guys walk around, including myself, and say, hey, you know, I'm fine. Everything is cool. Everything is groovy. Give me another pill. Give me another joint. Give me some cocaine. Give me some alcohol. I'll make it through the day.
Mm-hmm.
Just admitting that there's something wrong in your life and you're suffering and your pain is a very difficult thing for men to do because men are supposed to be made of steel.
Mm-hmm.
So just coming together with a group of men and admitting that and sharing that is a tremendous breakthrough in this culture.
Is this, what you know, while watching football or what?
Well,
how about those Giants?
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting about that. Men, you know, the fascinating paradox about men is that men need to be in groups, and the men's movement is saying that, you know, this tremendous vitality and renewal of men getting together and sharing their life experiences. Now, most men, as you mentioned, like to hang out in football games or go to bars. But one of the things that the men's movement is suggesting all men get involved is this what's called a men's support group,
mm-hmm.
an all-men support group. And what you do is you get 10 guys together in a room.
And you play poker.
You play poker, you can dance in your underwear, you can tell dirty jokes, or you can heal yourself in the most ancient way that men heal themselves.
Ooh, this sounds good.
Which is, when men get together and they have the courage and the honesty to admit what's going on in their lives and share with each other what is upsetting them and what their pain is, something magical happens in terms of a healing and a renewal. It's what religion did for men, it's what tribes did for men, it's what the whole shamanic primitive world did. And it's a very basic, simple idea, which is
beating on drums.
Beating on drums, dancing, honoring spirits, talking with a stick, any kind of ritual.
Talking with a stick?
You talk with a stick. It's an ancient ritual where you pick up a stick and you talk about what's in your heart in an unguarded way. And if you're in pain, you talk about your pain. If you're frightened, you talk about your fear. In our men's group, what we do is we have what's called a death stick, where we have this stick that has a skull on it, an ivory skull. And we talk to death, and what we say is, the following in my life is dying. You know, I have a bad relationship, it's dying. I have a bad job, it's dying. I have a lousy relationship with my son, that's dying. And when you let something die, something new can be reborn. So it's a simple process. You know, for most of human history, men have done this. The fact that we don't do it anymore in this culture is why men are suffering. This is nothing new. We're just ignoring the ancient wisdom of men healing each other.
Mm-hmm. And why can't women get in on this?
Because men are hyper-horny.
Men are hyper-horny. You mentioned that in the new Scallywag Times. You have something in here about hyper-horniness. Let's see. Hyper-horniness, pornography, vibrators, and marriage.
Right.
So what's this all about?
Well,
and keep in mind, we're on the radio.
Right. You know, when you take any group of guys.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you've had that. You have a serious business discussion. Let's say you're at the radio station. 10 guys are talking about really, really something important, and everyone is very analytical.
Mm-hmm.
In walks a beautiful woman. Something changes.
Mm-hmm.
Something changes. When you bring a woman into a group of men, because men are so biologically, beautifully, naturally hyper-horny, the energy changes and you lose your concentration. So the purpose of keeping women out of these rituals is...
Men are biologically hyper-horny?
Hyper-horny. The whole purpose
is
of
that...
Is
that a technical term?
Well, it's a term I make up so that men can understand and not feel shamed at the extraordinary, vibrant sexuality that men have, which was given to us by nature to ensure our survival. I don't know if most men know this, that we are the only primate on the face of the earth that can make love every day of the week, every month out of the year, and we can make love all day long if we had the energy for that. And it's interesting that we also have a female counterpart who also shares that sexuality.
But is it evolutionary, in an evolutionary sense, is it necessary to be doing that anymore? And should we be celebrating our randiness?
I'm not talking about necessarily having children, but the reason that we were given that hypersexuality is because we didn't survive very well and we had very frail children.
So yeah, but I mean, it's a vestige of the past. I mean, are you trying to say that it's still a necessary ingredient in the relationships between men and women?
Well, you can't ever say that your biology is a vestige of your past. In other words, you may have to say
to yourself... Well, what about the appendix? What's that organ there that we have no idea what it does what we need it for?
Well, you're not implying that you don't know what your penis is for.
Let me see. Let me think about
that. You got to think about that. Okay. Well, the thing is that isn't it interesting that over time, that in spite of the fact that civilization has changed radically over the last 50,000 years, nothing has changed our sexuality. We have the same sexuality today that we had when we were early human beings. The problem that we are saying in the men's movement is when a society says to men, you should feel shamed about your biological nature, you should feel bad about the way that nature designed you. When we do that to men, what you do is destroy the spirit of men. And when men's spirits are destroyed, they can't be fathers, they can't be husbands, and they can't be friends. If you repress a man, you repress the whole man.
Who's repressing us?
Well, the society is repressing us.
I think the
society is giving men a very bum rap. It's giving us a bum rap because it's accusing us of being sexist, chauvinist pigs. It's giving us a bum rap because we're incompetent in all sorts of ways that men were never intended to be competent. I mean, we're getting a bum rap, and you can see it on television.
Let me give out the number here. Wait a minute. 201-678-7743. You're listening to WFMU, Uppsala College, East Orange, and this is Aerial View with my guest Harvey Rosenberg of the New Scallywag Times. And you were saying?
The society does not, you know, I think this is a guilt trip that men have been on since Women's Lib. Women's Lib came along, and they had a lot of good complaints about men. But what's happened is the pendulum has swung too far. And when men feel shamed and guilty, when they feel that there's something wrong with them, they can't be effective partners in relationships. And if you look at the 60% divorce rate, if you look at 60% of the children have no original parents, 25% of the children in America have no fathers, you have to say, what's going on in our culture? Why are men feeling so bad about the roles that they normally had great joy in participating in? Well, I think it doesn't take much. You know, you don't have to be a sophisticated psychologist, or to understand the fact that when someone feels bad about the role they play, they don't want to play it. So we've got to stop doing this to men and find a way to celebrate what men are, find a way to renew their energy. And one of the ways you've got to start by doing that is stop toxifying the male sexuality. Rejoice in what we are. Now, that's hard. And, people laugh and chuckle. But, look what's going on in America. Look at all those women out there who don't have husbands. Look at all those children out there that don't have fathers. And when you're a father and you have a child, you've got to have a lot of pain in you, a lot of suffering in you to say goodbye to that child.
Wait, we have a call here. Hang on just a minute. Hello.
Chris?
This is Aerial View. Welcome to the air.
Hi.
Yeah,
the world's suffering from overpopulation, and men are just, the bum rap is that there's too many dudes, man.
There's too many dudes.
I mean, what's his problem? I mean, you just gotta, do what's best and just say life's a gas and get on with it, I mean, we gotta pick up the pieces of an environment that's gone to hell, I mean?
Yeah, I don't know, Harvey. It seems like a long time ago when we started moving away from a woman-based theology and, into a male-based theology. That's where most of the problems began to arise. I mean, how do you feel about that?
Well, I do believe that there is a tremendous distortion in the old patriarchal society, but part of that distortion has been the extraordinary passivity in women taking part in the culture. Now,
you're saying women have been passive and taking part in the culture? Really?
Yeah. you know, you could, you know, women would like us to think, this is where the shaming goes, women would like to think that they are the victims.
Uh-huh.
They are the victims of us. Now, there's no such thing as victims without complicity.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we are playing mutually bogus gender roles, and the only way there's going to be a transformation is that we both have to change our ways of responding to each other. But I'm only talking about what's going to be significant over the next two generations. Over the next 2 to 3 generations, men are still going to be in power. We hope that changes. We hope women have more power. But as
hoping and helping to see something come true are two different things. I mean, if you want to talk about a passive position, when you say we're hoping that'll change, I mean, what's more passive than that statement you've just made?
Well, but it's not that we're hoping in that sense. The way, you know,
how are you going to see to it that that situation does change?
If you look at the psychic energy in this society.
I'm not talking about psychic energy.
Well, I'm talking about the family.
I'm saying, how are you going to see to it that that situation does change?
The best way.
Harvey.
Best way the men's movement can do that.
Harvey. What I'm asking you is, how are you going to see to it? How are you going to help make that situation change? That women still earn, 60% of what men earn?
Mm-hmm.
That they are lacking a lot of the rights that men take for granted?
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to see to it besides hoping that that changes?
No, I'm not going to see to it in that sense. In other words, women are going to have to be able to organize themselves politically, and it's an appropriate thing for them to take responsibility for making sure that they become socially active and ensure that they have equal protection and equal rights under the law. But I'm having a more transcendent issue, which is, if there is no American family, all of these issues become secondary issues. If we cannot raise our children in a healthy, positive way,
when
none of these things matter.
What do you see as the tradition? What do you feel is the proper family structure? What do you think is an ideal family unit?
An ideal family structure is one that replicates the metaphor of polygamy, which is the multi-generational family.
Well, let me say goodbye to this caller. Caller, do you have anything else you want to say? Or
computers will raise the new family.
Thank you. Anyway, so you were saying the multi-generational family. So let me ask you this. What does dad do in this family?
Well, you see, this is an interesting concept, which is what I'm saying is that you cannot have an effective family with just a mother and a father. There must be secondary forms of support, because the design of
that's not what I'm asking. I'm asking you, what does the father do in this unit, and then we'll move on down the
line.
Well,
the father has to spend more time at home.
Okay.
And that means that a woman is going to have to be able to be more aggressive economically and become a more important secondary provider, which is what you're talking about. Women are going to have to raise their income potential.
A secondary provider? Hmm.
They're
going to have to raise their own income potential? How are they going
to... Well, you see,
Harvey, how are women going to raise their own income potential when most of the bosses are male and they won't pay them more money because they view them as second-class citizens?
Mm.
Well, what are you talking about? Wait a minute, we have a call here. Hello, welcome to the air.
I want to know who's going to do the cooking for this multi-generational family.
Mm.
If auntie and uncle and grandma and grandpa and all the kids and dad who's hanging out at home are hanging out at home, who's making dinner?
Well, I think what you're saying is you're right, that the stress of taking care of the family chores are one of the big stress issues in families, and we're going to have to figure out ways to do that. Now, if we can't figure out how to prepare food and take care of the mundane things, with all of the sophistication and know-how we have in this culture, we're in deep trouble. Now, does that mean you use freeze-dried foods and you put them in your microwave? I don't know what the answer is to preparing wholesome meals when both parents are away. But what I am saying is the whole concept of both parents being away, the whole concept of a father being away all the time, doesn't work. Now, I'm not saying that I'm God and I have the solution. What I am saying is the way we are organizing our families today, we have concrete proof that it doesn't work. Now, what do women have to say about that? What we're saying is men have got to get more involved in the family. Women have to take on more of the economic responsibility.
Women have to... Well, how do you feel about this, caller?
I'm holding judgment, but it sounds really strange to me.
Sounds
strange. I'm just going to hang up and continue to listen and
think about this. You do that. Because at 6:30 we have another guest coming on. And I'll tell you a little bit about that in a few more minutes. But anyway, so you're saying that women have to go out there and have to demand more money, right?
Just the way men do.
They have to go out there and demand it. Demand
just the way men do. Yeah, exactly. It's the same burden we're all going to have to face.
Yeah.
Men are having to struggle with the same thing today in America. We all have to work harder. We're declining economic power.
Yeah, well, so if what you're saying is we're at a declining economic power and the family structure is in disarray and we don't know what a a proper functioning working family unit is anymore. Isn't the base of all this what you're saying, economics? Aren't we talking about an economic base to this whole problem, the family problem, the problem of both parents being out, having to work, and the kids basically growing up as latchkey children and not having anybody in the home all day to take care
of
them?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Yeah. I think that we bought into an economic concept that is bogus.
And who's
absolutely
largely behind this economic concept?
We're 50-50.
Harvey, it's old white men. Old white men,
right?
White men,
old white men with their old white wives who love the idea.
Old white men, old white men, old white men, old white men, old white
men, old white men, and women watching, coming home, enjoying the soap operas, and playing a very painful role of housewife. It was bogus and toxic for both.
Oh, okay. We got a call here. Hello, welcome to the air.
Hi.
Hi.
What's going on?
What's going on? We're talking to Harvey Rosenberg.
Yeah, I know. This is Greg Haggerty.
Hi, Greg.
Hi.
Nice for you to call, Greg. Nice for you to call. Hello, welcome to the air.
Hi, Greg.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know who's more asinine here, you or your guest.
It's probably me.
No, we're sharing it equally.
It's probably
old white men.
I'm sorry, sir. I don't think he had anything really to add to the program. Hello, welcome to the air.
Hi, this is Greg again. I don't know why you hung up on me.
Well, Greg,
you
just sort of said your name and then left, you know?
Oh, I didn't leave.
Well, you just sort of said your name and then didn't say anything.
Oh, well, excuse me.
Nice to talk to you again.
So why are you giving this guy such a hard time? What he's saying makes perfect sense.
It does?
Yeah, I mean, I work. I have to cook for myself. If I have kids, I want to spend time with them.
Right.
If I have a wife, I expect her to be involved in something and go to work and, you know, spend part of the time at home and part of the time working.
Right.
That doesn't sound unusual to me.
You're right, I'm wrong. Hello, welcome to the air. Hello. Yes, caller? I think someone in the other room picked up. That's probably the problem. 201-678-7743 is the phone number here. Anyway, what were we talking about? Oh, yeah, we were talking about how we need to, like, get this thing under control, this runaway engine of the family that is not succeeding, right?
The American dream has died for middle-class America. It's going to take some guts to admit that. The way we organize our family, the way we organize our lives is not working. This is a time that we all have to come together and say, what is wrong with the way we have been living? It's an equal responsibility both for men and women, and we are not going to have a future generation of Americans who are going to be healthy unless we change what we're doing. Now, again, I don't have the answer, but what the men's movement is saying is, we as men admit that we're doing the wrong thing. We're in pain. We're screwing up. We have to look at our own lives. We have to renew ourselves, and we need the help of women to start looking at the challenge of what a family has to be in the future, because where we are today and how we got here doesn't work. We've all failed.
Hang on, we got a call. Hello, welcome to the air. Yes, did you want to add anything to our little talk fest here? Turn your radio down. 201-678-7743, they get confused. Men are confused, largely.
Yep.
Confused. But in your scallywag times here, we have a little thing called celebrating fathers and sons.
Mm-hmm.
Do it before he dies. Do it many times. If you have no choice, do it after he is gone. Celebrate your father. Even if he's your worst enemy, celebrate him, because the only thing more important than a good friend is a good enemy. He has failed you in many ways, and there is bitterness. He doesn't understand you and never will. There may be an unbridgeable gulf between you both. All good reasons to celebrate him. You wince, noticing his most hateful traits jump out of your soul. When you need him, he may not be there, and with passing time, the silence between you is more painful. Celebrate him. Celebrate the timeless, painful drama between fathers and sons. Celebrate all the failures at embracing and loving each other. Celebrate all the forgiveness possible in this moment. Bring your father and your son to one of our father-son celebrations. If he is not alive, bring his spirit, which is in you. Teach your son to celebrate his own masculinity. Be in the circle of men who are celebrating the cycle of love, pain, forgiveness, and separation. Celebrate your bond to all men, thousands of generations of us struggling for love. Celebrate this too short, joyful dance of life at our monthly father-son celebrations. That was written by you?
Yep.
Celebrating fathers and sons. What does that all mean?
It means that as men, we are all in pain over the father that we had, because our father had to play a role to survive in a culture where he couldn't love us as much as he wanted to. But but we are both wounded in the absence of that love.
Mm-hmm.
So that all that we can do is, rather than walk around with that bitterness, we can all say we're all part of this toxic drama. We all have to forgive each other. By celebrating your father, you celebrate the father in you, and you relieve your own shame and your own bitterness. Because the thing that is causing, as I said, the $600 billion consumption of painkillers in America is the pain that we have, and a lot of that pain comes from the pain we have from our father, the pain that we have from being a son who never got from his father the kind of love we needed.
The son who never got the kind of... What kind of nut? What kind of love are we talking about here? What?
Well, the kind of love that we used to have is...
A pat on the head, you mean?
Well,
good job,
until,
son.
Up until three generations
come
ago.
Come and cut down trees with me? Or
yeah,
something?
Up until...
Come hunting with me, son?
Yeah, exactly.
That kind of stuff? Let's go kill animals together, you and I.
Well, let's just spend some time together, and I'll teach you how to build a cabinet or plow a
field.
I'll
teach you how to build something.
Right, or I'll tell you stories about my life so you can know who I am as a man.
Okay. Wait a minute. Hang on a minute. Hang on just a minute. We got to call our other guest. I'm going to do that now.
Okay.
Let's see. By the way, it's 6:30. It's a little bit after 6:30 on WFMU of Psychology East Orange. We're talking with Harvey Rosenberg.
Entertainment?
Yes, I'm calling for Sophie Benchita.
Speaking.
Hi, this is Chris on WFMU. How are you?
I hope I'm not on air.
You're on the air right now.
Oh, am I really?
Yes.
Then I'm going to switch phones.
Okay, switch phones. Okay, you know who we're talking to now?
Me?
Yes, I can hear you really well.
Okay, I was on a portable.
You're on a portable phone. Okay. We're talking to Harvey Rosenberg of the New York Men's Council. He puts out a paper called The New Scallywag Times. You know anything about the men's movement, Sophie?
No.
The new men's movement?
No, I don't.
Well, let's tell everybody where you're from. Sophie is the publisher and editor of something called Mentertainment, the official publication of the go-go industry. Am I right?
Yes, you are.
How long have you been involved with go-go?
How long?
Yeah.
Well, ever since I started the magazine.
Were you ever a go-go girl?
No, never.
Uh-huh. Never a go-go girl, but you're around go-go, in the world of go-go.
Pretty much so.
Pretty much?
24 hours a day.
How does go-go jive with the men's movement?
I don't know men's movement, so would you tell me what men's movement is?
The men's movement, well, Harvey could probably explain it to you a bit. Harvey, you want to try explaining this?
I love this. By the way, I'm a great fan of go-go dancing, and I was, as a young man, a great admirer of that, you know, the idea of women dancing that way. That was a very beautiful ritualistic form that had great value.
I never thought of that way, a ritualistic form.
You know, that's what it is. When, you know, in the ancient form, you know, the way men would honor the woman's sacred sexual energy was by observing her dance and making offerings. And I always thought that, even though it was slightly distorted, the go-go dancing form, because, you know, when you're looking up at a woman, you're in a worshipful position.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously those women are very beautiful and excite the audience in the ancient form of ritual, fertility ritual, and I think it's nice that it's being kept alive.
How do you feel about that, Sophie? When we go to go-go bars as men and we look up at women, are we worshipping at their feet?
In a way, yes.
In a way?
In a way, yes. I never really thought of that, but the way he's saying it sounds accurate.
Mm-hmm.
Accurate. Harvey, you're on to something.
Even though I'm not a man, so it's very difficult for me to think...
You know, it's interesting. The first piece of sculpture they found in the caves at Lascaux in France, which is 15,000 years old, the first sculpture that man ever made was a sculpture of a female vulva.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So obviously there...
Those are those Swedish cars, right?
Yeah, the Swedish cars. So obviously there is a need on the part of men in his primal mind to worship a woman's sexuality. Women are the source of life.
Right.
So, you know, women, you know, there's a lot of feminists out there who criticize us for enjoying pornography and going and watching naked women dance, and I disagree with that. I think, yes, there can be something incredibly slimy and sleazy in it, but I don't know a man who does not find that an uplifting experience, even if he won't admit it.
Ooh, uplifting. Wait a minute, we have another call here. Hang on. Hello, welcome to the air.
Hi.
Yes,
I'm just sick of listening to all this crap. I wish that, you know, I think it's really stupid. You pair these things up. It doesn't make any sense. Your program doesn't make any sense. And all you do is try to ridicule everybody. We're sick of it.
You're sick of it? He didn't even stick around long enough for me to say anything, though.
Oh.
For me to talk to him at all. Well, caller, I wish you would call back. And we could have a conversation about this. Well, he's sick of my show. I guess that means I have to stop doing it. Well, it's been fun. Listen, thanks a lot, folks, for coming aboard and being with me on my show. But he's sick of it, so I'm going to stop doing it, okay?
Okay.
It's been really nice. I'm sorry we didn't have more time to talk, Sophie.
Okay, no problem.
But I have to go, okay?
Okay.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, that's it. This has been the last aerial view. You've just heard it. Our guests today were Harvey Rosenberg and Sophie Benchita. We were talking about the men's movement and go-go dancing in America, but we found someone out there is sick of it, and I can't continue knowing that the show has reached its utter end for somebody. So I don't know what will be here next week in this time slot, but this is the end of Aerial View, and it's been a lot of fun. Bill Berger will be up at 7 o'clock. Hello?
Hi.
Yes, hi.
Who's this?
This is Chris.
Oh, hi. Do you have a number for the New Scallywag Times?
The New...
Or an address?
The New Scallywag Times, you could reach them at, let's see. If they have a number on here, yeah. 718-852-1567. Yes?
Okay, 718-81...
718-852-1567.
Okay, thank you.
Okay?
Bye-bye.
Bye. Hello?
Chris.
Yes.
What are you doing?
My show has ended.
Oh, man.
That's it. It's over. It's all finished. Goodbye.
Oh, huh?
I someone called up and really put it to me and told me where it was at and made me see, like, you know, the error of my ways.
Oh.
And I guess, you know, what's the point in going on?
I guess if it was that serious. But
oh, you didn't hear that guy?
I heard
Jeez,
him.
Yeah.
He didn't even substantiate himself. He was just a plain old dopey jerk listener.
Well, wait a minute. I value those dopey jerk listeners and their opinions. Hang on a minute. Hello, welcome to the air.
Yeah, I heard that guy. He's probably not even a supporter of the station. How come you're letting this one guy get to you like that?
It's just that he was so forceful in his opinion and so manly.
I think so. He sounded like a real wimp from over here.
Really?
I was enjoying the show.
Well, you were enjoying the show? And then it just derailed entirely?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Hello, welcome to the air.
Hi.
Hi.
Could you tell me what that guy you just had on meant and what he wanted?
I'm still trying to figure it out.
Such a dilemma here.
Uh-huh. Well, what do you think he meant and what he wanted?
Well, I'm kind of confused. I think he wanted some kind of equal rights for men, and he
yeah.
wanted understanding for the
Which
plight
guy?
He's in.
The guy, that guy from the New Scallywag Times. So should I call them back? I'm wondering if I should get
yeah.
them back.
Well, you
on
know,
the
actually, the way that you hung up on them was very
rude,
confusing,
and rude
to say the least. It's
I know. I should call
rude.
Them.
And it's a shame for the station. To
well, let me keep the listener, female listener, on the phone, and we'll call them back. So she could ask him that very question. Hang on a minute.
Okay.
Let me say goodbye to one of the callers.
Right.
And
I'm going
to
hang up, too.
Thanks. Okay. Well, if I can get a line open. There we go. Lower what? What am I doing wrong now?
Oh,
you're not talking to me. Hang on. Let's try to get Harvey Rosenberg back on the line. I probably...
Men's Council.
Hi, Harvey?
Yeah.
It's Chris again. We're back on the air.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, there was a listener of mine that called and wanted to ask you a couple
okay.
of things, I guess. Go ahead, caller.
Well, I kind of want to know what your problem is. What exactly do you want in this men's movement? Hmm. What do you feel that you're not getting right now from society or from the female society that you really want to get?
Yeah. Well, what we're doing is we're going back, and what I think we have now is a sense of the ancient rituals and the healings that men go through that redefine their masculinity as men would define their masculinity as opposed to the way women would do that. You know, little boys are raised by their mothers. And women, with all the best intention, cannot give little boys a good sense of their own masculinity. So what we have out there is millions of men who have been raised by women who are not confident of their masculinity. So the things that we're doing in the men's movement, the rituals, the practices, and the workshops...
Excuse me, can I just cut in a second here?
Yeah, sure.
I found...
You're being far too passive, I think.
Excuse me?
I think you're being far too passive. Go out and earn yourself some more dough.
Oh, thank you. What I'm trying to get across is... I've seen
you know, by the
men.
Way, it's, you know, it's a proven fact that men interrupt women more often than women interrupt men, much more often.
Maybe we just learned how to be nice and polite and female and ladylike.
Right.
Excuse me.
Go ahead.
So you were saying?
I was saying that the men I've seen in my family and the people that grew up around me, young men that were brought up by women with their fathers either dying or leaving, they grew up to be quite aggressive and angry, where the women grew up to be professionals.
Yeah. Well, I think.
And men with a father figure around them all their lives grew up to be more passive and kind of still angry at the women they grew up with, because they thought they needed to be this masculine, aggressive. You know, the way the media tells you to be.
Yeah, well, let me just distinguish, and your observation is correct, though slightly distorted, which is that men, why are men so violent in America? We are the most violent country in the world, and we're more violent towards men than women, but the question is, why are we so angry and violent towards women, which is, can you understand that a man who grows up and has a mother for a father has to grow up and prove that he's a man, and the way he proves that is through rebellion and anger and violence.
Do you have studies to back up the proof that all violent male aggressors and criminals were brought up with no father?
Yeah, there's a new book out that you get. It's been getting a lot of publicity by. It's called Boys Will Be Boys, A Study of Violence of Men in America. And it's written by a woman named Miriam Myasdin. And in fact, in the Scalawag Times, I talk about violence in men and how a lot of that is a way for, you know, like Rambo and Sylvester Stallone and all of these characters. Little boys are taught that the way you can prove that you're a man is through violence. And what they do is, with their mothers, to prove that they're men, because they never had an opportunity to learn how to be men from their fathers, they become violent to women as a way of...
Their fathers are violent.
Well, of course, their fathers also had mothers for fathers.
So if we just eliminate the mothers...
Well, what's your solution? Let's cut to the chase here. What's
your
solution?
About Elvis? Elvis wasn't violent. He loved his mama.
No,
well, why don't you give
Elvis
your solution?
Elvis
because we're all flabbergasted on the air, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, your answer to the question is, you know, I think that what we have to do is go back and...
But what were you saying about Elvis? Wait a minute. You started saying something about Elvis.
Elvis was polite. Was the typical man who died from addiction.
Uh-huh.
You know, 25...
Yeah, but he had a hell of a lot of fun.
Anyone who's dying of addiction will tell you they're having lots of fun, and then you go to their funeral and you look at the expression on their face. It doesn't look like so much fun to me.
Well, I don't know. I think
I
makeup does a lot. Remember that.
I think he had a blast between you and me.
But to answer your question, I think that what the men's movement is saying is that, listen, little boys have to be raised by fathers and little girls have to be raised by mothers, and you have to have two loving parents.
Little boys have to be raised by fathers, and little girls have to be raised by mothers. Hmm.
And you need two loving parents.
Two loving parents.
Right.
Besides the mother and father? Are you saying?
Yeah, I think that would be great. I think that every woman in America deserves another wife and an extra husband, and every husband in America deserves an extra wife and a husband to pal around with. Yeah, we need to go back to having lots
of... So it should be like the Honeymooners, then.
I like that idea.
So if the Honeymooners had children, it would be a perfect family setup?
This could be your next crusade on radio.
Yeah. Well, a crusade.
So
I don't know.
Should I get a college... So I could go to college night school, maybe become Donna Reed?
Mm-hmm. Donna Reed.
Maybe I could learn how to bake apple pie, and my son will be a model citizen. Is that
it? You know, what we're saying is that... And this is true because 25% of the children have no fathers, and we have a lot of children out there who have no idea what a father is. What we're saying is that women should start to understand what the dynamics of masculine psychology are.
So
and
women are...
No, this is what
are you saying
to.
That women are driving men out of the family, that they're driving these fathers
away? No, I don't think they're driving them
away.
Out, because I think women are doing the best job they can, but a woman cannot initiate a young boy the way his father can, not because she's incompetent, because she's not a man. Little boys need fathers Mothers try their best, but women are not men. The same way a little girl can't be initiated by her father. She needs her mother to initiate her into the ways of being a woman.
What ways are these? What ways are you talking about?
This guy
what are you
is
talking
so backward.
About? What are you talking about? You're talking about wearing lipstick and cleaning the stove and fixing dinner? I mean, insofar as little girls are concerned and having little play sets that approximate, you know, the...
No, it may be something that, you know, I know lots of women who are very involved in, you know, a new form of feminism, which is aggressive, positive, fertility, you know, all the things that the new age woman is involved with. And little girls learn that from being around their mothers.
Uh-huh.
It's a certain uh-huh. kind of feminine uh-huh. energy that women have that they teach their daughters about. The way little boys are taught by their fathers how to be strong, positive, fierce, aggressive, brave, respectful, honorful, religious, spiritual.
But all these qualities...
Make that fly.
These qualities you mentioned early on there in your list, the fierce and aggressive and brave, many of these qualities that you're referring to are outmoded. This is what I was saying earlier.
How is it outmoded?
They're in today's society...
Have you ever had anyone in your family dying of cancer?
Have I anyone in my family dying of cancer? No, not that I've known.
Well,
of.
If you do, then you know how much bravery it takes to confront that.
But why
it
is that a male trait?
Bravery to
why is
face.
That? Why is that a male trait, though? What's
well?
Why?
I didn't say it was exclusively a male trait. You know, again, you're making a dichotomy. I'm saying that the spiritual strength that men usually have. There are many men who believe that it is the man's responsibility to rage against social injustice. Men have the ability to form rallies and groups and make the world a better place to live, to overthrow unjust government.
You're right about that, boy. I'll tell you, though. Men,
why don't we look
yes.
at history books and prove that?
Okay, wait a minute. We got a call here. Hang on. Hello, welcome to the air.
Hello.
Yes?
How you doing?
As a man, did you want to add anything?
I don't know. I could offer an observation to
go ahead.
The argument.
Yes?
Basically, Harvey's movement, I don't know if you call it a movement or his organization, seems like a positive thing. But, you know, he might be, the argument that he's getting, it seems like you're just giving him a hard time because...